Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the house of the Lord on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving, for our God indeed is a good God. I'd like to say it's a beautiful day, but the sunshine is in liquid form today, but that's okay. We need that as well for the prosperity of our garden. So a welcome on this dreary day and a welcome to all those who are joining us on the live stream wherever you may be and whatever weather you may be experiencing. We're pleased that you are with us this morning. The announcements were before you on the screens and I hope you had the opportunity to take note of those that were there so that you might see, make note of those which are of most importance to you. Just a reminder, as always, but the bulletin board downstairs is where we kind of park all of the community events and posters for various activities that are happening in our community. So do always take a moment to walk past that bulletin board downstairs and see what is going on within the broader community of Cornwall and area. We're preparing for our graduate Sundays, and I've gotten a couple of emails in that regard, so a thank you to all those who are letting us know. The graduate Sunday marking the graduation of students from colleges and universities will be on June the 1st, and then on June the 29th, the last Sunday of June, we will be marking graduation and recognizing our graduates from the high schools this year. So make note of those two dates. And if you know of young people, make sure they're in touch with us at the church that we can get their photos and things for that service. And also in the planning, the busyness here never ceases. On the 28th, we are planning another Welcome to Summer Supper on Saturday, Saturday, June 28th. So please reserve the date, and more information is going to roll out as time goes by. Having said all of those things, the session summary.
Good morning. Session met last Tuesday. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, in which we are asked to lead lives of compassion and faithfulness. Our calling is to be the church and to be united in manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. We met with Libby Adams, who has completed her confirmation classes and will be joined to the church by profession of faith on Sunday, June 8th. The operating budget has fallen into the red, and so a request was made to the Heritage Trust Fund for a transfer of $10,000. Any further requests will require a congregational meeting. Last year, the Welcome to Summer Supper was a big success, so this year we're happy to report that a brisket supper will be held on Saturday, June 28th, and tickets will be available soon. Session is looking at other fundraising ideas, and if you have any ideas, please speak to Trish, Susan, or Cynthia. Session has created a fee schedule for funerals, weddings, and special services. We would like to thank the funeral committee of the Women of the Church for their many years of dedicated service to providing luncheons. Their retirement has been well earned. The presbytery report has been returned to us, and the following recommendations will be acted upon by session in the near future. First, we hope we'll be able to reestablish finance and property committees. If you're interested in participating in either of these important ministries, please speak to Cynthia, John Matthews, or Reverend Adams. Second, session will consider how to balance tradition with innovation, to allow the church to continue honoring its heritage while embracing fresh possibilities. Next, leadership opportunities will be presented to the congregation in an attempt to find ways to allow everyone to share their gifts. Finally, it was recommended that we increase our outreach, ensuring that people who enter the church are welcomed and encouraged to stay and become a part of our St. John's family. A strategic plan will be created to tackle these recommendations. Session is pleased to report that our new office administrator, Rob Beaton, began his work with us on Monday. Thank you to Trish Brown and Keppel Barrett for their work with this search, as well as Reverend Adams and John Matthews. Rob will be in the office from 9 to 2, Monday to Friday. I reported on behalf of the Worship and Music Committee. The committee is looking for volunteers for various special events, specifically if anyone is interested in having an outdoor service or picnic this coming June or July, then speak to one of your elders or myself, particularly if you're interested in organizing and contributing to said outdoor service or picnic. Worship and Music Committee reminded the session that the anniversary of St. John's and the Presbyterian Church in Canada is occurring in 2027, and we will be looking to have special events to commemorate that. I'm happy to report that the McGaughey Organ Concert was a success, and we hope that to see more of the congregation members for that musical event next year. Reverend Adams has been granted holiday leave from August 5th to August 26th this year. That completes the report. Thank you.
And as we enter into worship today, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign for us that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his people seek to walk in that light. Call to worship for this morning is a responsive call, and it will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Hear what the Lord is saying. Come and present your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your pleading.
The Lord has been the rock upon which we stand from the beginning of the earth.
What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk modestly with our God. Let us pray. Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure in heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace, that our words and deeds in the world may see the promise of your kingdom. Reveal in Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 787 in the Book of Praise. The kingdom of God is justice and joy. Number 787 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Thank you.
Let us confess our sins, for the Holy One delights in blessing those who seek to walk in the name of the Lord. The prayer of confession for this morning will appear before you on the screens. God of compassion and mercy, we confess how often we turn our backs on our neighbors and those in need. We walk through this world blind to the suffering of those in need. We utter empty phrases when confronted by the disparities in our society. We cling to what we can grasp with fists closed tightly, while others are turned away, hands empty. Forgive us, God of grace, and teach us to render true worship to you in everything we do. We pray and be known to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven by the faith of Christ, who chose love over hatred and forgiveness over blame. Rejoice and be glad, for God's mercy is great. Jesus brings healing, justice, and peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. We tried the next hymn once before. It didn't go well. So we're going to try it again. Hopefully we will do better. I used to have a choir director, and we'd sing through a part, and when we needed to sharpen the pencil a little bit, he would say, "Let's do that again, and this time, let's improve." So it was a while ago that we tried this hymn. It's around, so that's where we fell apart, was during the round section of it. So we will sing through each of the three verses of this round as a regular hymn with three verses. And then if you're feeling really frisky, we'll try it as a round again. Hymn number 709, What Does the Lord Require of You?
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God.
Why don't we do that just like that one more time, Minna?
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God.
Feeling like you got it? Feeling like you got it? Anita's got it. Done it lots. Ooh, you should come up here and help me sing it then. We're going to give it a try as a round. This side is going to be the beginning. Probably the easiest part. So you're going to start us off. You're going to sing, What does the Lord require of you? The slide's going to change, so I hope you don't forget the words. But keep going. Just keep going. The second time they sing that, my friends, I hate to break the Brown family up, and I don't know where Fleur's going to go. To the center here. All of this is going to be just as kindness. Walk humbly with your God. And you'll keep going with those words. And then this group, which is the highly paid singers, you guys got to really come through for me this morning, gets to sing, to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. Did I have a D there? What do you play? You start each part, but just give them the first bar.
Are they going to sing by themselves?
And then they'll keep going by themselves. Yeah. Yeah. And choir, I don't know what you do. Okay, friends. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Just as kindness, walk humbly with your God, to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. I wanted to stop singing so that I could hear what you all were doing. So, but I think that's where we'll stop today. But you know what? We're getting better. We improved. We'll try it again before too long, and we'll be even better. Perfect. Thank you, everyone. And now, I see one young person this morning in worship. Do you want to come up for a story? No. Would you like to go down for Sunday school? No. No. Well, we're glad you're here, and I look forward to talking to you after worship, okay? Perfect. Thank you. What we're looking at today in worship up here is the idea of justice, being fair and kind to other people and treating them how we would like to be treated. We're going to look at a story that I think is familiar for many. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And you're all mature Christians, so I'm sure you're all going to know the stuff that I'm going to say about the Good Samaritan this morning. But there's a surprise in the Good Samaritan story that I think sometimes we miss because we've used it for so long to teach goodness and kindness of the Good Samaritan that we've missed the scandal that was in that story when Jesus taught us. So as we talk this morning about the story of the Good Samaritan, you can listen for that. Let us pray. Holy God, your blessings are abundant and your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your Spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak, or persecuted, and revealing to all your glory. Amen.
Good morning.
The first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, page 891 in your Bibles. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord and your enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The responsive reading this morning is Psalm 72, and you can follow along on the screen. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son.
May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice.
May the mountains yield prosperity and the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor.
May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more.
May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
May his foes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust.
May the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts.
May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service.
For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight.
Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually and blessings invoked for him all day long.
May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field.
May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May all nations be blessed in him. May they pronounce him happy.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things.
Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. The next reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Thanks be to God for these words to us.
Once more, let us sing the hymn, "We Cannot Own the Sunlit Sky." The hymn is number 717 in your book of praise, or as it appears before you on the screens. This morning's gospel lesson is taken from Luke chapter 10, reading verses 25 to 37. It is the story of the Good Shepherd. Now, just then, the lawyer stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And so Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said, "Then go and do likewise." Once more, we turn to sing hymn 475, "I am the church, you are the church." We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of this hymn. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes the church is marching. Sometimes it's bravely burning. Sometimes it's riding. Sometimes hiding. Always it's learning. As we've been working our way through this preaching series on the nature of the church, You may have noticed that we are following the outline not of some great theological treatise or the reflection of some great reformer of the church, but rather we're following the stanzas of the hymn that we've just sung. And today we have that stanza on the church's association with justice in a world that is defined by sinfulness and persecution. Interestingly, the hymn's writer, Richard Avery, skillfully illustrates this aspect of the church's mission without being so specific in his references that we might think that it applies to any one given time or event. The verbs that make up this verse encompass the fullness of the church's endeavor and span its history. If we try to associate them with people and places, we get a tapestry of events. As I read the verses this week, I was reminded of the myriad of times of proclamation and persecution in which the church has been called to justice. The church is marching, brings to mind perhaps the civil rights movement of the 1960s, or maybe marches that are happening in places around the world to this very day, for justice for immigrants and refugees. The burning church perhaps speaks of the persecuted church and the deaths of the martyrs of all times and place, from the churches spoken of in the book of Revelation to this very day. From John of Patmos to Patrick of Ireland, from Dietrich Bonhoeffer to Oscar Romero to Martin Luther King Jr., all are represented somewhere in the words of this stanza. Indeed, the concept of a just world is foundational to our Christian faith. We believe in a God who created a perfect world that has been tarnished by sin. And that same God is so committed to the goodness of creation and the relationship which existed between God and humanity, that God has not stopped searching for a way to draw us back into the circle of his light. And all those endeavors to redeem us culminate in the gift of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to show us the perfection of God's love and to bear our sins upon the cross. And here we are today. And today we hear once again that familiar story, the story of the Good Shepherd. The parable of the Good Shepherd has been this mainstay of Sunday school lessons as we teach our children how to emulate the Good Samaritan, to be kind and caring of others in all circumstances. And yet, for those who are listening to this parable that we hear just on the fringes of the reading, in the white space between the letters and around the verses, those people, unspeaking, but yet there. For those first hearers, there is a real scandal in this text, one which we might not hear ourselves with our modern ears, and yet it's not too far from our own experience of life in the world either. Now, the parable begins with the questioning of a Pharisee, one who was schooled in the interpretations of the laws of the Lord, as to how he might inherit eternal life. Luke tells it to us, and Jesus clearly recognized that this was a bit of a trick question. This wasn't an earnest man seeking earnest advice as to how to live out his faith. This was someone who had come with an agenda to try to catch Jesus up, to trick Jesus. But Jesus, recognizing that, gives an answer that plays right into the wheelhouse of this Pharisee, doesn't it? Jesus' answer is, what is written in the law? What does it say there? Surely a Pharisee should have some comfort with that response. And the Pharisee answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But the Pharisee wants to push it one step further. And so he asks the next question. But teacher, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the parable. The parable about a man who falls into calamity while he is traveling. He is robbed and beaten and left for dead. And as it happens, a priest walks by, but seeing the man, the priest crosses to the other side and walks on. Next, Jesus says a Levite walks by, and likewise, the Levite crosses to the other side and walks on. And finally, now, before we get to the end, finally, for those who were gathered listening to the parable, to this point, Jesus has said nothing that surprises them. You see, the Levitical code forbade coming into contact with a dead body or with the bodily fluids of another. And so for them, as they listened to Jesus talk about what the actions of the priest and the Levite, they would be sitting back nodding their agreement. That's what they would have done too. Both the priest and the Levite would have been well acquainted with the law, and they would have known that they could not intervene on behalf of this man. No, the scandal in this parable for Jesus' hearers on that day is who shows up next, the uninvited guest to the party. Next comes the Samaritan. We may not know, but those who were gathered knew. There was great animosity between the Jewish people and the Samaritans, an animosity that went all the way back to the exile, which is chronicled in the Old Testament. This is a 700-year-old grudge. So it's pretty strong by now. Everybody knows the Jews don't like Samaritans, and Samaritans don't like Jews. But here he is, the Samaritan. The Samaritan shows up, and this Samaritan commits an act of utter kindness. This Samaritan is held up as an example, and that would have been the outrage for Jesus' hearers. That this one that they looked so down upon would be the one who would show mercy and kindness to this man who was left for dead. That he would clean his wounds, pick him up, take him to an inn, provide for him while he convalesced, and say to the innkeeper that he would be good for it. And then Jesus asks the Pharisee the end of the question. Which one was the neighbor? Not which one was faithful, not which one was right. Which one was the neighbor? Which is what the teachings of the Old Testament had told him to be. And the Pharisee is caught, and he must say, the one who was the neighbor was the one who showed mercy. The scandal in the parable of the Good Samaritan is that a Samaritan can be good. As I was thinking about this week's themes and whatnot, it was a tough week to kind of sort out where we go from here because, well, there's a lot going on in the world, isn't there? As I pointed out, you know, listening to those verbs in the verse of the hymn and that begins with the church is always marching. Of course, like many, I was drawn to the ideas of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the marches that took place throughout the South during the 1960s as they sought for racial justice. And so there was that. That was Monday. And then on Wednesday, as I was working through this, I was listening to the radio, and there was a documentary show speaking about, a current events show, speaking about events that are happening in Gaza. And they noted that in Gaza right now, 1 in 5 Gazans is starving to death because there is no food being allowed into that area of the world. Gazans could be Samaritans, and especially children. And then Thursday was India bombing Pakistan and Pakistan bombing, India bombing Pakistan and Pakistan rattling sabers against India. And then by the end of the week, Israel was once more bombing Gaza. And it was just an awful week. You feel that sometimes when you turn on the television or the radio, you pick up the newspaper and you look and you go, it's just an awful week. I think I'll turn that off now and go find something better to do. But for those of us who are the church, that is the meat of our mission. Those awful things that happen in the world, those things that divide people one from another, that carry on age-old grudges and persecutions into the future, generation upon generation upon generation. And sometimes the only thing that we can do is cry out, how long, O Lord? How long? But then we're reminded, as the Apostle Paul writes, that we have a treasure that is carried in earthen vessels. It's not really ours. It's a borrowed treasure. You see, we have experienced that love of God that we spoke of earlier, that love of a God who pursues us. There's a passage in Scripture that speaks of the God who, it's not just that it's there. God just doesn't love us, but he chases after us that he might love us. And we have received that message, and we know it to be true. And having received and knowing it to be true, the only thing that we can do is attempt to show that forth into the world. And through our own personal actions with neighbors who are closer at hand, through our advocacy, through government and non-governmental organizations to work with people around the world, that we might decrease the suffering of others and be advocates for peace over power, then we, in some small way, become the kingdom-building church, tearing down the walls that divide us, the sin that divides us, so that we might be the people and the creation that God formed together. Many, many years ago, when I was young, I hate to admit that that was many, many years ago, but many years ago, when I was young and new in ministry, we were doing our theological education and training just around the time of the abolition of the apartheid rules in South Africa, and that was part of my formative 20s years. You know, the music you listen to and the stuff you watch on TV. And as part of the church and working with our ecumenical partners, a friend who had been working with the Canadian Council of Churches had drew our attention to the fact that one of the first places that Nelson Mandela traveled after he was freed from his decades-long imprisonment in South Africa was to Canada. And one of the first stops when he arrived in Canada was to the offices of the Canadian Council of Churches. Because the Canadian Council of Churches had begun some of that advocacy work that had led to the tearing down of the walls that had existed in South Africa. And he wished to thank those who had been instrumental in the task. Not everything gets you an audience with Nelson Mandela, but everything is the work of the church. As we seek to lift up those who have fallen down, we seek to bring together those who have been separated. And in all things, we seek to give God glory. So as we hear those words today, let us join ourselves to the work of the church that seeks to give testimony around the world. Because sometimes the church is marching. And sometimes it is bravely burning. Sometimes it is riding, and sometimes it is hiding. And always we are learning. Learning how to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, and learning how that calling will lead us into new and unexpected places, because with God there are no boundaries that separate us. Thanks be to God for his goodness in the world and in our lives. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from our Living Faith document, chapter 8.4, which is, oddly enough, on the topic of justice. Let us read this together responsively. God is always calling the church to seek that justice in the world which reflects the divine righteousness revealed in the Bible. God's justice is seen when we deal fairly with each other and strive to change customs and practices that oppress and enslave others. Justice involves protecting the rights of others. It protests against everything that destroys human dignity. Justice requires concern for the poor of the world. It seeks the best way to create well-being in every society. It is concerned about employment, education, and health, as well as rights and responsibilities. Justice seeks fairness in society. It involves the protection of human beings, concern for the victims of crime as well as the offenders. It requires fair laws, justly administered, courts and penal institutions that are just and humane. Justice opposes prejudice in every form. It rejects discrimination on such grounds as race, sex, age, status, or handicap. Justice stands with our neighbors in their struggle for dignity and respect and demands the exercise of power for the common good. Amen. With what shall I come before the Lord this day? We come with a love for justice and a passion for the sharing of Christ's love in the world. Let us therefore walk humbly and offer to God a portion of the gifts that God has freely shared with us, gifts for the healing of the world. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Thank you. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have blessed us with an abundance of gifts for the flourishing of your world. May this offering of our life and our labor reveal your love to others as we seek to share your promised reign within all creation. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Redeeming God, you come to us in Christ Jesus to rescue us from slavery and lead us out of captivity. Guide us by the wisdom of your cross and show us how to live lives of justice, love, and blessedness. We pray this day for your church, that you will kindle within us the spirit of reconciliation, that we might work for peace and for a fair sharing of the world's resources across all lands and all peoples. Teach us that our praise for your goodness depends more upon the actions of our lives than the words of our hearts, of our mouths. We pray for our government at all levels, that they might see the invisible people in our society and strive to hear their voices and improve their lives. We pray for those who are in need this day, for those who struggle with addiction, for those who are lonely and those who are alone, for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, and for all those who are in hospital and those awaiting diagnosis or treatments. Grant peace to their troubled minds, O God, and remind them that they are not alone. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who manifested the self-giving nature of your kingdom as he gave himself upon the cross. We pray these things in and through his name, and we pray in the manner now that he taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is number 730 in the Book of Praise. Oh, for a world where everyone, number 730, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Thank you.
just before the benediction, a reminder to worship and music committee folks that I do want to speak with worship and music after worship this morning. And since 50% of the congregation is there in that back corner, why don't we meet there? That's a good place. Friends, let us go out into the world seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.